Hello and welcome to this British Journal of Surgery podcast. I'm Wendy Barnaby and today I'll be talking to Professor Madeleine Peters from the Department of Clinical Psychological Sciences at Maastricht University, as well as to Mr. John Bynan, one of the editors of the BJS. Madeleine's co-authored a paper about patients who've had surgery recovering their quality of life. And Madeleine, your results are really rather alarming. What's the overall message of your paper?
Well, as you say, I think it is alarming. And first of all, thank you for giving me the opportunity to comment on the paper. But the results are alarming, and the overall message is that indeed surgery may pose a risk for long-term recovery, and that part of the patients, a rather large percentage, not recover entirely and still have pain problems 6 and 12 months after surgery. So that is actually the main message.
What percentage are we talking about?
Well, we're talking about around 15% of patients who still have either pain complaints or function physically or emotionally worse than they did before the operation. So that's about 15%.
It is a surprising result. What prompted you to do the study?
Well, it's not that surprising, because what prompted our study was results which have been reported previously in the literature, which found comparable numbers and comparable percentages. It ranges between 10% and even some indications and some surgical procedures to around 30% of people still having complaints months after the operation. So that prompted our study to see whether we could confirm this finding, and also with a really prospective design where we measured the status and the pain scores before the operation and then follow patients up. And also another reason why we did the study is that we do know these percentages, but we don't know what causes this problem and whether we can identify factors which either promote good recovery or are related to poor recovery. So that was one of the reasons why we did this study.
Yes, you looked at a variety of physical and emotional factors that might account for how quickly people's quality of life improves. What sort of factors did you find that might predict how people will react after the operation?
Well, the most predictive factor, or at least the what was most associated with outcome, was the pain people experienced immediately after surgery. So within the first 4 days after they had their operation, they also scored how much pain they had at that moment. And if people had lots of pain and above average pain during that period, they were at higher risk that their pain would persist and that still would have pain 6 and 12 months later. And another factor was the medical comorbidities people reported before the operation. If they were in not as good a condition as most patients were before their operation, they had a higher chance of getting persistent pain. And from the psychological factors, we found that it were especially the patients who were more worried about consequences of the operation, were more fearful, who had the highest chance. Whereas on the other hand, more optimistic patients, that seemed to be protective against poor recovery. So the optimists recovered better, and especially in the functional aspects of the recovery, we found that.
Now, that factor you were talking about how sick people were physically before the operation, I mean, that is largely a matter of common sense, isn't it? I should have thought that if you're very sick before an operation, then you are likely to find recovery worse. But were you able to control for that?
Yes, we were. We measured the physical status before the operation, and then we measured it 6 and 12 months later, and we saw that it was not just a continuation of their worse physical condition before the operation, but it even got worse. And maybe it is common sense that if your condition is not as good, that recovery takes longer, but we could confirm it with this study. And so we did control for the baseline physical condition.
Yes. So it wasn't simply a matter of a bad physical condition going on being bad. It was actually a bad physical condition becoming worse.
Absolutely, yes. That was the case.
And you chose patients from a variety of subspecialties of surgery. I mean, plastic surgery, neurothoracic, et cetera, et cetera. Why did you want such a broad lot of patients in the study?
Well, first of all, it was kind of pragmatic reasons why we chose to do that. At the time when we started this study, there was another trial set up in our hospital in the context of quality control, where they wanted to see how many patients from a variety of specialities had high levels of acute post-operative pain. So what I did was hook up with this study and inserted some psychological instruments before the measurements and before the trial started, and also to have these follow-up at 6 and 12 months, which were not originally included. So the first reason was that it was kind of pragmatic, that it was feasible to do in our hospital. But in thinking in retrospect about it, it has some advantages as well, because so far it has mainly been studied, the prevalence of chronic pain, after very specific types of operations. And what we found is that it doesn't seem to matter that much that there's a risk after every procedure which was included in this study. So it seemed to generalize across operations. But having said that, there is also a disadvantage, because indeed it also introduces some noise in the data. You have a very large variety of pain scores, ages of patients. So you have to control for a lot of factors. So actually what we're doing now is to repeat the study with a more homogeneous procedure, and that will be women undergoing hysterectomy. So that will be our next study.
Right. Now, apart from the physical condition of the patient before the operation, which you found was very important in post-operative recovery, you talked about pain, immediate post-operative pain, and the emotional outlook of the patient, the fear of the operation, and also the optimism of the patient and how they would do afterwards. Do you think that you could somehow intervene to change these factors in a way that would help patients after the operation?
Well, first of all, that will be our ultimate goal, because it's scientifically interesting to know which factors are related to the transition from acute to chronic pain. But in the end, if we want to help patients, we do want to intervene. And I think there might be several targets. First of all, like you mentioned, was the acute post-operative pain. Although I think at this moment it's too early to say whether high levels of acute postoperative pain are really causally related to persistent pain. For instance, it might be that a third factor is involved which causes both, maybe a genetic factor or any other factor. So it's at this point in time too early to say whether when we can reduce acute postoperative pain, if it would be really helpful in preventing chronic pain. But I think that's an empirical question, and I think really studies are called for which try and indeed diminish the level of acute post-operative pain and see how effective it will be, and whether indeed incidence of chronic pain will be reduced if we have better pain management in this acute post-operative phase. And I think there's lots to gain there still, because what we saw in our hospital and also in other hospitals, there is still a lot of acute post-operative pain. So there are still some means for intervention there. So that's one way we could go about, but I think that still needs a lot of research before we really know where it will be helpful. And the second, I'm a psychologist myself, so I'm mainly aiming at the psychological factors. And I think we could try and reduce the pre-operative worries of patients by intervening on that. And right now we have an ongoing trial in which we give patients, at least part of the patients, relaxation tapes, and to see whether that's helpful in reducing their fear levels and whether indeed they have lower incidence of chronic post-operative pain after this intervention. So see, we are working on that.
Let's turn to John Bynan, one of the editors of the BJS from the Singleton Hospital in Swansea. John, does this paper come a bit of a surprise to you as a surgeon?
A bit of a surprise, Wendy, but not a complete surprise. I think that in this era, we're all so focused on getting patients in, treated and out rapidly, especially with the advent of the enhanced recovery programs that most of Europe have taken on board, that I think we can get too focused on what actually happens in the hospital and not in the recovery period outside the hospital. So I think this paper has a lot of implications for the general surgical community. And I just don't mean general surgery, I mean orthopedics, the whole remit of patients that this study actually looked at. And there's a whole variety of factors here, which, as Madeline has pointed out, are potentially affectable by how we deal with our practice. And I was very interested to hear what she said about the fact she's going to look at a homogeneous group of patients rather than a diverse group of patients to see if these factors hold up in the patients that she's mentioned who are undergoing sort of routine hysterectomy. One thing I'd like to, and I think it has huge implications because we're talking about acute post-operative care that might influence the so-called malleable factors and also the pre-surgical anxiety factor, which she's just been finished off talking about. And I'm interested in her view as a psychologist. She was talking about how she might manipulate patients' anxiety. Does she feel in this situation that more information given to the patient about the type of operation that they're having and the consequences is beneficial or detrimental? Do they want to know? And does she have any perspective whether that affects their post-operative outcome in the long term? And that's something she might be able to come back on in a moment. And if that's the case, how might we go about manipulating that one factor? Because post-operative pain we can obviously address. And there's one thing in the paper that might be worthwhile commenting on as well, is the fact that in her study, they decided on the fourth post-operative day as the optimal time for measuring the acute pain post-operatively across the board. I'm just interested why she chose day four. Really. It might be worth going back to her and asking what she thinks about those two factors I've just brought up, really.
Yes, well, Madeline, shall we take the first of those two factors that John's raised first, which was, what about giving information to the patients before the operation about what's going to happen? Do you think that that would make patients more or less relaxed?
Well, thank you for the question. I think it's not an easy answer to that. I think it depends on the type of information you're giving, because you should, of course, be accurate in your information. You can't just deny the risk there are in an operation. So there should be a good balance of being accurate and framing your information in such a way that it's not threatening, so that you also stress the more positive sides and the chances of recovery. So the balance between giving accurate information and being non-threatening should be very much safeguarded. That's one aspect. The second aspect is that it differs between people. Some people have this real need for information. They want to know everything. Other people, they just say, well, don't tell me everything, just do it. So they are not so keen on this information. So I think we have to tailor our messages to the needs of the patient, him or herself. So that's one aspect. And the second, I think, is that information, just giving information, may be appropriate for most patients. But some, and I hope we can identify, some may benefit from some more, well, more ongoing, more in-depth guidance. So maybe real intervention, like what we do now with the relaxation states, but also challenging their irrational beliefs or their irrational worries. Because some people really have irrational beliefs about what this operation means. And I think here, some specialized nurses or even psychologists can come in. But not, of course, for every patient. That would be unnecessary, would be unfeasible. But for those patients with very high levels, there we may need some more. So that was my answer to this first question.
Well, fine. Well, a very full answer, too. Thank you very much. And the second question was, why did you choose the fourth post-operative day to measure acute post-operative pain?
Yes, we actually didn't only measure the fourth post-operative day. We measured pain on the day of the operation itself and on day one, two, three, and four. So we had 4 days of measurement. And we, in one of our papers with a previous one where we looked at acute pain, we have reported also on the pain levels on these 4 days. And I also have looked at the predictive value of these other days for outcome, and actually it was exactly the same. So it didn't really matter, and so therefore we decided to take the fourth operative day because that was the most pure pain score where most of the analgesia and the epidurals were already gone. So it's most reflective of the patient's state without ongoing analgesic procedures. So that's why we chose for that, but it didn't really matter if we took the first, the second, or the third day.
Fine. John, is there anything else you'd like to ask Madeleine?
No, I think she's actually covered her subject very well indeed and answered a lot of your questions and certainly my last two. I think this paper is an important paper. I think what she's mentioned for the future is highly important for the reasons I've just itemized previously. I think we do forget to a certain extent in the general surgical community what patients are like when they go home and how they perceive recovery and how they actually do recover. Quite how this could be manipulated preoperatively. I think there are certain specialties where the sort of techniques Madeleine has described would be eminently applicable. There are certain others in the ARID, which is mainly in colorectal cancer, where we're on a time scale to get patients treated, to get them through the process, that these sort of factors may not be as applicable as they might be, for instance, in elective orthopedic surgery. So I think there are areas here that certainly need further work on and certainly have a lot of prospects for the future in trying to improve overall recovery.
But perhaps, John, if you couldn't do anything about this in the hospital immediately post-operatively, you could link up with GP surgeries or extra hospital providers or something to continue the sort of care that the patients need after they go home, do you think?
Sure. I think the post-operative support is immensely important, and certainly what we try to do is to tell not to give patients unrealistic expectations of where they are going to be 2 months, 3 months, 6 months, 12 months, whatever, after surgery. What I was trying to get back to there, what was Madeleine's, one of the theses that the paper has brought out, is the pre-surgical aspect of this, because that seems to be one of the major factors that affects outcome from the point of view of recovery, pain at 1 year and 6 months. And it's those things which are, you know, according to the paper, malleable, as she calls them. So pre-surgical anxiety, the information things she's just discussed, trying to allay anxieties of the patients before they start, knowing what they're letting themselves into. And I totally agree with what she said. You undoubtedly have two groups of patients, that those that want a whole load of information given to them and are asking questions, want the information up front. And there's the opposite extreme. Patients say, look, doctor, I trust you implicitly. I don't want to know. Please get on with the operation. Sort me out. So I think there is a dichotomy of patients there, and it's trying to sort out the ones and give them the best deal, whichever of those sort of groups they fall into.
Well, thank you, John, and thank you, Madeleine. The paper is called Predictors of Physical and Emotional Recovery 6 and 12 Months After Surgery, and it'll appear in the October issue of the BJS. That's all from this podcast. Goodbye.